The tragedy that is Darfur seems endless. The current crisis in the Sudanese region began 5 years ago with a rebellion. Arab militias retaliated by attacking black African villagers, reportedly in collusion with Sudanese government troops. The conflict has killed 200,000 people to date, and no one's been able to stop the suffering, not the U.S., not the U.N., or the African Union. Rich Williamson is a U.S. envoy to Sudan. He says that despite all the frustrations, America remains committed to two objectives in Darfur.
Number one is trying to get some measure of security, because it's just outrageous that you still have the type of insecurity, the type of violence, the type of danger that these innocent civilians are in. Secondly, we're trying to, at the same time, provide greater humanitarian assistance. You've got over 2.5 million people that have had their homes burned to the ground, their crops destroyed, their wells often poisoned, who are in internally displaced person camps. And unfortunately, the areas that are receiving humanitarian aid have shrunk. They're areas that you just cannot get to. So there's literally hundreds of thousands of people who are living in desperate conditions that the international humanitarian community can't reach.
I have to say that the descriptions that you're giving, we are familiar with them, because this is the kind of thing we have been hearing for 4 years now.
And unbelievable. Well, it's terrible.
And I think most people would agree with that, perhaps not the government of Sudan, which seems to have been doing nothing to help the situation and is only exacerbating a situation which it created. But when you talk about UN peacekeepers, they were authorized a year ago. In truth, is the U.S. stuck? Are you stuck?
Well, we don't think we're stuck, but the obstacles are considerable. Some of them are from the government of Sudan. Some of them is because of the United Nations not being prepared to absorb peacekeepers as quickly as we can train and deliver them. Double the number of peacekeepers on the ground, you will begin to get more stability. It's not the answer, but it will contribute to a better situation.
But let me ask you about this and about the other major problem in Sudan. We've been talking about Darfur. What is the overlap between Darfur and the problem between the north and south in Sudan? This is Sudan's longest-running civil war that had been the subject of a peace agreement, which the Bush administration helped forge. Now that seems to be in trouble. Tell me what the status is of it right now and how those two issues are connected.
Right. Just a couple of weeks ago, in Abyei town, which is the center of the dispute, and Abyei region is where there's a lot of oil wells and the border is in dispute, there was violence that escalated. And after about 4 or 5 days, 50 to 52,000 were driven out of their homes. I visited that area at the end of May. It was the apocalypse. It was incredible devastation. I'd say over 95% of the homes had been burned to the ground. They'd been looted. They'd been destroyed. It looked as bad as anything I saw in Kosovo or Bosnia during those wars. And unfortunately, some of that looting and burning was as close as 25 yards away from the UN garrison.
From the UN garrison.
And the UN peacekeepers stayed inside of that garrison.
How come?
I talked to the local commander. They do have a mandate to intervene to protect innocent civilians.
The commander told you what?
The commander said they felt they didn't have the capacity to do it. There were only 300 peacekeepers, to which I say if you had 300 peacekeepers patrolling, it would have had a chilling effect, and it, I believe, not spun out of control. The UN peacekeepers in the south, which is a separate mission than that in Darfur, we pay $1 billion a year for to try to bring stability. $1 billion a year, and these people stayed in their garrison while folks' lives were shattered.
What you're seeing, such as during that trip to Abyei, is extremely distressing. You have spoken, though, with the president of Sudan, Omar al-Bashir. When's the last time you talked to him?
I met with al-Bashir early June.
Well, given that the United States considers Sudan a country that sponsors terrorism, a state sponsor of terrorism, I know that you have been criticized for even talking with Sudan's president. But I want to know what it's like as you enter that room and talk to the man who you believe is responsible, as does the international community, for genocide.
My goal is to try to alleviate the suffering and bring stability. Efforts of ignoring major power players won't get that. So, yes, I'm talking to some people that do things that we're not happy with, that we condemn. But if I can get more UN peacekeepers on the ground, if I can get the mandate that's more vigorous so Abiy tragedies don't happen again. So yes, I've been criticized by some, but my goal is not a cause. My goal is a solution.
Ambassador, understanding your own frustration, I wonder what happens to you and your efforts in January when the clock runs out on this administration.
Well, I'd say two things. I've been in and out of government for 30 years. I've had 9 different posts, this, including 3 ambassadorships. This is by far the most disheartening, the most frustrating, the most difficult assignment I've ever had because of the amount of suffering that's going on. But we're going to continue to push as hard as we can. And I think it's noteworthy that both Senators McCain and Obama have signed joint statement on Darfur, which in essence says it'll keep or even increase the pressure on Sudan. So as I tell my interlocutors in Sudan, you may think I'm a junkyard dog, but the next one's going to be just as tough.
U.S. Envoy to Sudan, Ambassador Rich Williamson. Nice to speak with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Have a good day.